Blog Talk Radio.
Tragically, and perhaps irreversibly. There's now over 25 feet of water where there was once city streets and thriving neighborhoods.
I hate the way they betray us in the media. We see a black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food, and you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black, and even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the teacher's TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before even giving a donation, so now I'm calling my business manager right now to see what is the biggest amount I can give, and just to imagine if I was down there, and those are my people down there. So anybody out there that wants to do anything that we can help with the setup, the way America is set up to help the poor, the black people, the less well off as slow as possible. I mean, this is Red Cross is doing everything they can. We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now, fighting another way, and they've given them permission to go down and shoot us.
But in even many ways more profoundly devastating is the lasting damage to the survivors' will to rebuild and remain in the area. The destruction of the spirit of the...
Hello, and welcome to Truth Heals. And I'm your host, Terry Littlejohn. And you are listening to a remix of this horrific Katrina incident that happened 10 years ago this month. Seems like yesterday when we listened to Kanye West as he describes the way in which these people were treated, as he describes the visions, the visuals that he saw on the news reels. It doesn't seem like much has changed when you look at the news today, the way it interprets things that have to do with people of color. It doesn't seem like much has changed. The way they portray us, the way they make our mistakes and our faults into something that is way more horrific than their own. It just seems like it was yesterday. Katrina, this horrific storm, it's not over. We're still struggling. We're still in a storm in this country. Now, they say the definition of this storm was a hurricane, the 11th named storm that year for 2005, and it was the fifth hurricane in the Atlantic hurricane season. And it was the costliest natural disaster as one of the five deadliest hurricanes in the history of the United States. It's interesting how they labeled the storm. Very interesting. They believe that over 1,000 people died. They're not sure as to how many actually died. The storm called Katrina originated in the Bahamas on August 23rd of 2005. It was something that happened between a tropical wave. Depression intensified into this tropical storm called Katrina. It headed westward toward Florida, but then it strengthened itself into a hurricane before it landed on Hallandale Beach on the 25th of August. Then, after it weakened, then emerged into the Gulf of Mexico on August 26th, and it began to rapidly deepen. It strengthened itself to a Category 5 over the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, but it weakened before making its second landfall as a Category 3 into the southeast of Louisiana on August 29th of 2005. This storm developed within days, but the actual storm had been brewing for many, many, many years. And to some, the storm is still happening right now as we speak in the city of New Orleans. And I remember this day very, very clearly because I have a friend from high school that had been living in New Orleans since we graduated. She had married someone and they were raising their family there in New Orleans. So my concern was, did they evacuate in time? And yes, they did. They got their family together, took the belongings that they could, and put them in their van and drove from New Orleans to St. Louis. Once they got here, they were fine. They didn't know what the situation was with their home, but they were fine. And they were staying with relatives and friends and relatives gathered together and helped them find housing and gave them finances to start up with, and they got vouchers for furniture and different things. And I remember calling them news media here, asking them that they wanted to interview this family. But they found it that their story was not serious enough because they were all here, they were all safe. They didn't want to interview them. They only wanted the horrific stories. Can you believe that? They only wanted the stories where there was something horrific that had happened to these families. So I said, okay, you don't want to interview them because they're fine and they made it out of the storm. But they didn't understand. Just because they made it out of the storm did not mean that they mentally were handling this storm. To be displaced from your home and to not know what's going on with your home as you watch these horrific stories on television. You see the storm, you see the effect that it has on the city. The majority of the city was damaged. And you don't think these people were going through anything worth news worthy? But this is the world in which we live in. This is the media. They only want stories that are visually horrific. And it's really, really, really sad. I'll never forget that. When I talked to the news station, he's like, oh, no, we can't run that. They're still here. They're all here. Everything is fine. There's no need to run their story. But that's okay because we went forward with their lives, and they were able to stay here for a while, and eventually they went back down to New Orleans, and their home was not as badly damaged, and they were able to repair it, and they live there now. But that's the story that I remember. And it's sad to say that that's the way the media sought to handle it. Now, there were a lot of different stories that came from that storm. Some were not so great. As you can see, they didn't want the stories of the people that survived. They didn't want the stories of the people that held their family intact. They only wanted the horrific stories. And there's one story that happened on one of the bridges there where two sets of families were walking on the bridge, and the police jumped out of a renter truck and started shooting this family. Shooting at the people on the bridge, claiming that these people were shooting at them. And two people ended up being murdered. Case is still going on now. Of course, nobody has been sent to jail for this, but this was a horrific crime. A lot of people were being shot at. A lot of things were happening the media showed these people, and this is the part I really remember. They showed all these people in the dome down there, the Superdome, and how these people were being trampled on and starved. They weren't given the proper food. They weren't given the proper way in which to take care of themselves, the water system, the toilet system, the heating system. They pushed all these people into the Superdome as if they had a place for them to really be able to take care of themselves. And it was a horrific scene as you watched these people. You couldn't believe this was America. It looked like a third world country. Here we are, one city in thousands across the country, one city. And then they finally got some buses together to take the people and put them on the buses and take them into another city, the nearest city, I think it was Baton Rouge. And to watch that was a horrific sight. Nothing was organized. It was just a total mess. And when you see these people, some of them were laying out there dying because the old and crippled didn't have anyone to care for them. They said there were a lot of things going on inside that place, darkness, people being raped and robbed inside the dome. People that were there because they had nowhere else to go. But this was America. And when you looked at these people, the majority of them were people of color. And you have to ask yourself what's going on. And then when you see Kanye West on the national news, live on national news, he stands there and he tells you the truth. He tells you the truth. Bush doesn't care about black people. Now, that's what we saw with our very eyes, because Bush at the time was the president of the United States, so he was the commander-in-chief, and he was to be calling the decisions, him along with the governor of Louisiana who failed the people. Because remember, we see now anything that happens in this country under our commander-in-chief, President Obama, right away the media blames him for it. If it's good, if it's bad, they blame him for it. So when Kanye stood there and said he didn't care, he had every right, because in our eyes, this is what we saw. This was the truth. These people were American citizens, taxpayers. This city was a great city in America, and this is the treatment that they got. But we see them going over to other countries, helping them in their disasters. We see this country that they call America, this great country, and how it responds to things, how they came together and responded in the horrific times in New York, how the people gathered together to help those people immediately. But the visions that we saw after the 29th of August 2005 were people standing on the roof begging with signs to be rescued, people for food, begging to be helped, to be saved. And then they showed the people running around. They said they were looting. They said they were breaking into places. And a lot of those people will tell you they needed food. They needed things. Nobody cared about them, so they didn't care about anything. But mind you, that Ninth Ward, it did not start. That storm did not start that day. That storm had been boiling for many, many years. For instance, the levees. The levees that they had built years ago, they knew they were defaulty. They knew that the material that was used was not proper to withstand such a storm. The levees broke. The primary mechanism of failure was at the 17th Street Canal. That part of the levee was an improper design. The flood walls surged. It was mechanical problems all the way around for those levees. They knew that they would not protect the type of storm that Hurricane Katrina was. But did they try to fix them? No, they did not. Did they care? No, they did not care. because the people that make those decisions to fix them and to spend the money, the budget, they don't live in that area. They didn't live near those levees. So why should they bother? They'll take the chance and they'll say, hey, the storm comes, storm goes. It doesn't matter. It's not going to do that much damage. The water will overflow, but it won't be that great. And here we are watching live on television 10 years ago in America, where we sent people to the moon. We constantly send ships to the moon. We constantly go and assist other countries with different things, technology. But we have these levees there, and we know that they're about to break. Yet we do nothing. Nothing at all. Very, very sad. Very sad. You can do research and you can find out exactly how the levees broke, what they were made out of, and how so much water was able to get into the city. Now, they say, like I said, they don't know how many people died. We know that it was over 1,000. But there were a lot of people displaced, a lot of people. It displaced more than 1 million people in the Gulf Coast region, but over 500,000 households were still displaced a month later. And at the peak of this evacuation, there was like over 200,000 people that were scattered around in different shelter housing. They had FEMA trailers that housed at least 114,000 households. This is how the aftermath of this storm was handled. FEMA stepped in, gave vouchers. They put up these places for the people to live in trailers. And we saw this great city of New Orleans become something that we thought we'd never see with our own eyes in America. The population of New Orleans, the city, it fell from 484,000 to maybe a guesstimated of 230,000 after Katrina in 2006. So the city lost over half its population. But now, as of 2014, the population is back up to 384,000. So it is gaining. The housing damage, it damaged more than 1 million housing units in the Gulf region. And when I say the Gulf region, I mean Louisiana and Mississippi. They had damages too. Half of those were located in Louisiana. In New Orleans alone, it was 134 housing units that were damaged. 70% of all were occupied. Now, the total damage that they and Rita was about $150 billion, with that being $135 billion from the Katrina. That's a lot of money. How much would it have taken to fix those levees? We know it wouldn't have been $135 million. One life lost, you can't put a price on. One family being displaced, you can't put a price on that. One family losing everything that they had, all of their pictures of their loved ones, their history. There was a lot of history in New Orleans. You can't put a price on that. And this is what people don't understand when it's not affecting them. This is what people don't really care about when the people that it's affecting don't really have a say-so. But this is the storm that we're talking about. Now, right now, I'm going to take a minute and see if I have some phone calls, see if someone wants to talk. If you want to talk, if you want to talk about how you remember this storm and how the storm is still amongst us, you can call me at 347-237-5247, 347-237-5247. I would love to hear your comments. Let me see if I have a caller or a listener. Caller 314-315, are you there?
Hi, Terry, it's Harriet.
Oh, how are you doing, Harriet? I'm sorry, I never know if you're listening or just calling in. I'm sorry, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. I hadn't realized that it was the 10th year anniversary of that tragedy. And I call it a tragedy. I call it a miscarriage of justice. I call it one of the, for those who were waiting and wanting to have something take place down there, had already in their minds prepared what they wanted to do with that area. They're one of the fortunate happening to wipe out that area and make it available to those who are going to watch what happens, that are going to come in and redo District 9. And District 9 is going to become prosperous for those who have money. It will no longer be a place of residence for the poor. Oh, no. It will be for those who are the affluent. Watch what I'm saying. It won't take long.
Oh, it's there. It's there already. They talked about how people from all over the world are moving there now. All over the world.
Exactly. I just had.
That was not just a coincidence.
It was not. No, no. They knew. As you said, it's a storm that's been brewing for a very long time. You know, nature just happened to give them an extra boost, probably push things along a little faster than they were actually planning to do. Now, I have a friend who just returned from that very area. She made a wonderful observation. She said prior to Katrina, there were two hurricanes that had come through nearby areas that happened to be named for males, and they didn't do very much damage. So since they couldn't wipe out what needed to be wiped out, these two women came along and got the job done, Katrina and Rita. Now, I said, you just said something, made a prophecy, and you don't know you did. Because if you look at where our political world in the United States is headed right now, in the upcoming elections, okay, Hillary Clinton is going to put her name out there. All right. And I say it's time for a woman to get in the White House. Let a woman get up there and see what she does. And I'm almost willing to bet any money she's going to make a lot better changes than any man has ever done. She's going to move mountains. Okay, just a comparison, just something I'm throwing out there. And it might be kind of funny, but yeah, I'm just making a comparison. But
yeah,
I was
ripping off the names. I'm like, Katrina?
Right.
You know, and I said, the name
yes,
Katrina. Where did they get? I know they go in alphabetical order of the storms, but why did they name it Katrina?
Katrina.
I mean, they have to have some reasoning behind these names.
It always is.
Yeah, and they know. They know. And I'm sure if we researched it, answers would lie in what we find.
Sure. If I had the presence of mind before I listened to the show and had done an etymology study as to where the name Katrina comes from, I probably could tell you. You know, I already know that I believe that Katrina has a Spanish or Hispanic background in that name, but I'm sure it has, and that it might be a derivative of Catherine. Okay. Now, if that's true, that takes me back to Catherine the Great. One of the great Russian women rulers, okay, who was ruling prior to some great upheavals over there. Okay, so if that's true, all right. Then, of course, I know that Rita is a derivative of something Hispanic or Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's probably a short form of Margarita. Okay, a nickname from Margarita,
right.
So, you know, you could think a lot of things there. But you're right.
It's a lot. It's a lot to study.
It
when I really researched the levees oh, you know, if I were an engineer, I probably could see so many things that I could read in between the lines.
Right. Okay, for instance, in the documentary that aired today, it was on HBO, this particular one was, and has been airing for a while because I saw it first and then my husband watched it today. I can't call the black movie star's name, but he had gone down there to see about his father. His father lived in that area. And his father didn't want to move because this was his home. And he said, oh, yeah, Dad, you're coming up out of here. And so he went to examine where the levees were. And he said, I can't believe this. And he showed a demonstration of what type of material the levee was made out of. He poured a glass of water up against a piece of cardboard, and the cardboard dissolved.
Oh, my God.
He said, this is what that levee did when the flood, hurricane water came, it dissolved.
The sand, they talked about the sand dissolving, how part of it was sitting in sand, and they knew that. They knew it was weak. They knew it.
Okay, my husband grew up and lived in East St. Louis. He spoke of a time when there was a great flood on the Mississippi, and it came and flooded out East St. Louis. He said the water was standing 10 feet in their home. Now, the government responded immediately, and I've been curious as to now why did they decide to go in there and save all the people in East St. Louis, the black folks in St. Louis. They went over there. He said they went in there and came with large trucks filled with furniture and furnishings. And the government came in and reconstructed their homes. Well, these are project homes. Okay, reconstructed all their project homes, and their families were able to, with their vouchers, go and pick out brand new furnishings, you know. And I said, well, we had to look at the timing that it was. And it probably was at a time when there had just been a great civil rights upheaval, all right? Mm-hmm. And because there's some movie that they were making down south, and I was watching this on a TV program, and the black was the cast was mixed with blacks and whites, and they were going into Selma. They were filming in Selma.
Oh, okay.
And,
I'm sorry, Harry. They're counting me down. I only got a minute left.
Sorry.
But I may come back next week with part two because this is very deep. And this story needs to be told and needs to be talked about. But I thank you for calling and listening. I do.
Sure.
And giving your wisdom as usual. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you next week. And thank you. Okay. And as we say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, one of our callers just called in and gave us some of her truth about the things that are really happening that had to do with Katrina. And we may examine this again next week because there's a lot of details that you don't really know that need to be told, a lot of truth that needs to be told about the levees, about what was really going on with that city. So until next week, stay true. Bless. Thank you.
Dramatically, tragically, and perhaps irreversibly. There's now over 25 feet of water where there was once city streets and thriving neighborhoods.